us in the image and likeness of God. This does not exist in the animals. The animals has the image of our own. Okay? Good. So, a second theological point is that God has bestowed on this essence, like life, and this life is received in the perpetual motion. And God, you know the story, right? What happened after the fall? Man? Man's will got into the way between at the beginning. Man and God was like that. Now that is my identity, right? And God set this man free. He gave him true freedom. You do what you want. So what happened is this man wanted to be free from God, wanted to run away from God, thinking that by doing this, this is freedom. But actually, by running away from God, this is what we call what? Death or sin. So this is what happened to us. When we lost the life, when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, our ego stood in the middle between this essence and between God. So this essence, to be able to see God and again and communicate with Him, we have to use this energy and just like redirect it to go back towards God. Do we agree? So actually, when we talk about warfare, when we talk about spiritual disciplines in our church, you know, like fasting, vigils, prayers, like, you know, when we take time away from everyone, silence, and these are all disciplines. These are all spiritual disciplines. Trying to think and trying to put a control on these emotions and these feelings that otherwise are one way. Okay? Easy to understand, it will be very difficult to live, right? But that's our spiritual journey. This is our spiritual journey. And that's why when you ask me, are you excited? And I said, yes, because I need to make sense of why am I living and what am I doing? Even though I'm just a regular human being, I go to work, I have family, but I need to have a real meaning of what I'm doing inside the church. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. So it's either it makes sense to me, powers. Thinking power, a desiring power, and an excitable power. Okay? So, the thinking power, think of your thinking power, put yourself in Adam's place before the fall. What do you think the thinking power of Adam was giving him or was telling him? Melody. What do you think? Like, God created Adam before the fall, and he had this thinking power. What do you think his thinking power would tell him? Imagine you're Adam now, and then you're in paradise, you're in the presence of God. What would this thinking power tell you? That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, well, okay, before you go to God and say, God, I'm bored, like, you know, give me something else. Okay, I like this one, but not to die? He will start dying in the flesh? Or will he still die? He still die. So we're in the salvation here. What do you mean? Spiritual. And
Christ says that he who believes in me, he will be died. But though he shall die, he shall live. So that's the second resurrection.
Okay, but are we gonna, when we rise again, is it this same flesh?
It's a glorified flesh.
Glorified flesh. And before the salvation, there was two types of death. Death of the flesh and death of the spirit, right? So there was no this glorified spiritual man that would rise with Jesus. Done. But we still, the second coming has not come yet. And that's why we're born in this situation of sin. So we inherited the death of the flesh. Yes, we did. But spiritually, who believes and who goes through this warfare with the grace of God is going to rise again spiritually, which did not happen before the salvation, right? We knew that, right? Because Satan had his hand on those people that are mine, both flesh and spirit. We were under his mercy. And if you don't save yourself, you're still under the mercy. We will all die. We will all die. But spiritually, we're not. Unless if you choose to die spiritually. And this is crucial, right? Yes. I don't want to go away, but what?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a matter.
Yeah, keep it at the end because it might be very important. Okay? So, whether you like it or not, as you see, we are commanded to be perfect. We are asked to be perfect. We are asked to be perfect, actually, to perfect our spiritual life. It's not an option. Should I take it or should I leave it? It's not. It's a must. We are supposed to perfect now. Is there a state where, is it like when you go to university and say, oh, I scored 90%, 80%? No, it's not like that. But you're supposed to perfect yourself, even if you die, and you still, you're not a saint, but you try. But people look at you and you're a sinful person or whatever. Who cares? You tried your best. Do you guys agree? Because I don't want you to think that, like, you know, oh, when you look at this person, oh, he's a godly person, loving you and we're a man. But I'm not like that. So, yeah, you know what? There are good times that. But it's not like that. In the eyes of God, God has different, completely different way to look. He has completely different measures. He looks at hearts, he looks at so many things, right? So all what we need you to do, I need myself to do this, to do this struggle, spiritual struggle, faithfully, and do my best, give it my best shot. Whether I score 60%, 90%, it doesn't work this way. But you have to be honest about, I'm going to try. And that's why we talk about things like fasting and all these disciplines that I mentioned. You have to use them honestly. It's not because my parents are fasting so long. It's not because the church is fasting and I'm going to look bad. Me, so let's fast. No, it's for you. It's for you all. Now, you fasted. Right, you try, but you fail a couple of days. This is all between you and God, right? But at least you gave it your best shot. Make sense? Okay, good. So, all these, like where we have, you know, lots of verses here about we need to perfect ourselves. I'm going to skip it because, like, you know, I want to move quickly to the rest of that I was talking about. When you want to please God, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to see a resurrection of all your worldly desires and flesh, and like, you know, it's going to all come at you and try to just like take you far from what you have in your hand. Believe. And the more you're honest about it, the more the struggle will be, nothing good in it. So don't think that because you managed to probably fast or you managed to stand and pray that I feel good about myself. Always keep in mind that it's thanks to the grace of God that I managed to do this. This is how we need to proceed into this journey. So how are we perceiving those tools? Is it a burden? It is quite. Because, you know, when I ask a simple question about fasting, it was excited, like people chuckle a little bit, you know? And actually, maybe I'm simple because, like, you know, there's lots of food that I try to avoid because, you know, it makes me no good. Makes me gain weight. I know that carbs make me gain weight. So I know there's a burden that comes with that. No one said it's easy. As I said at the beginning, is it really like a heavy burden or does it become overwhelming? Like, you know, as Jesus said, this is like, you know, the road that's light and pleasurable. So it's up to everyone to discover and to taste. But I believe that this time in our spiritual struggle, we don't feel like, oh, God, it's heaven, I can't do it. At one time, as we see, and we're going to see tonight, like, you know, that you start to feel. As soon as you get closer to God, remember we said that man was very close to God at the beginning. He sinned. Skipped out from the presence of God, away from God. What we are doing now is we are trying to come back. And the more you get closer to God, the more you start seeing God. Sorry, when this happened, this is when your eyes open to start feeling the glory of God in you. And this is going to change everything. This is what's going to keep you from, even if you fall, you want to continue your journey. Does it make sense? As you come closer, you're going to feel God closer. And as you're struggling and feel the grace of God lifting you up and doing miracles in your life, this is when your eyes is going to open and you want to finish the race. It's not anymore a burden. It used probably at the beginning to be a burden. But now, because I think I'm a little bit healthier, I can move faster. I can progress. Does it make sense? So even don't get frustrated that, you know, things like pushing yourself to stand and pray, close the door and spend your time with God alone, or pushing yourself to rest. Don't feel frustrated that at the beginning you feel that this is like a heavy burden. That's okay. It's like probably an indication to a person who's sick, right? You know, probably they don't like, you know, the taste or they don't like forever. But as they start feeling that it's working and it's doing an effect in your life, this is when you forget about who cares about the taste, right? It may be able to do things I wasn't able to, right? It may be able to be better. So who cares? Who cares about what all the time today or makes me sick in my stomach? Who cares? I want to be healthy. So same thing here. Don't be frustrated if your subconscious tells you, ah, 55 days, that's crazy, man. I can't do it. I can only do love. No, be a man. Be a man and just do it. Okay, good. Now, a very important and crucial point is this. Those practices, if we don't use them the right way, they end up harming us more than they benefit us. This is crucial. I want you to focus on this piece. If we use these tools in the wrong way, they are not going to benefit you, but they are going to harm you. Worse than if you did not touch them. Now tell you why. Because if you use them the wrong way, and you're not better, not only you're just a cost, but you know, it's a burden, but saying them is happy. They wish all God to be preferred. They want to be in the first places, stubborn in their decisions. They can't stand criticism. If you just don't criticize them, they just like move on with you. Very good at judging others. Even who we are inside the church. They have this eye, they look at this, what's the good thing you have to say? You look at this man, like, you know, this is, I hope you don't go there. I hope you don't meet one of these people who misinterpret being in a church and using the tools. Jealous of others, if God gives them any affliction to lead them up, they just like, you know, this grumble and they just like, you know, they're fighting with God and question marks about their faith. Okay, so let's look at the recipe. And as we go deeper, we're going to find it getting deeper. So the first few ones are easy. Never rely on yourself. You said that. In your heart, always bear a perfect and all-day trust in God alone. So not rely on yourself, trust in God alone. Strive without ceasing, which means that it's a journey that it's an unending until, as we said, we abide in God. And then he carries us and he lifts us. So it's a strive that as money is here if you decided to fast. It's not because the fast ended after 55 days that now we have free time. No. Strive without ceasing. Remain constantly in prayer. Well, those things are, you know, probably known to all of us. We need to rewire, right? And start probably having a new mindset. And I know this is not easy, but this is with time as we grow up spiritually. This is what we're supposed to have as a mindset. A mindset that honors pleasures and riches of the world, of this world. The mindset that the honors and the pleasures and the riches of this world are nothing but vanity and death to the soul. And by me giving any evil tendency or lust in me, this is way better than all the riches of the world. This is very difficult. Yes. Is it logical to the carnal person? No, it's not. Like, the world is going to look at you and say, you're crazy. Like, when I see how the world is going in the direction completely against God right now, and I see it in my practice every day, right? These are my days. When you probably in 20 years or 30 years, when you're my age, I'm going to act. I'm serious. God be with you guys. Yes, because the word, and this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we come to the second coming, there is a question mark, is Jesus going to find any faith on earth? This is written in the Bible. And we are heading toward this direction. We are heading toward this direction, whether we like it or not. Okay? So, for a spiritual man, when he hears this, like your mindset that looks at all the riches as vanity, but looking at overcoming my desires and my lust as number one priority for the spiritual man, yes, that's true. For the carnal man, I'm like, oh, what is God? What can you do? Okay, good. Another recipe. I said we're going to go deeper, right? So, oppose the pernicious pride of mind. What does this mean? To oppose the pernicious pride of mind. Mark, what does it mean? It says, oppose the pernicious pride of mind. What is the pride of mind? Anyone wants to volunteer?
Ego.
let God's voice talk to you. And now your will is aligned with God's will. This is how you're going to find whether this is the right thing for you or not. Isn't that beautiful? Did we get this one? Okay, let's move on. So, the next one is that when you go through this warfare, if you decide to go through this warfare, there's two wills that exist in us. And the two wills fight against. this part of the impression of the cycle. Another recipe, another communication is beware of the little foxes. Okay? So it doesn't have to be a big sin. Sometimes we allow ourselves to have those, you know, little things that, work in our life and unfortunately they destroy it. So maybe I'm not confrontational and I don't judge people. Okay? So I see you're probably wrong. I'm not that type. I'm not going to come to you and start judging you from. So that's good. But maybe, I just have, every time I said to people, I allow myself to gossip. Is that, does this make me a better person? Absolutely not, right? So, like, you know, if you don't feel in this, if you don't fall in the same as a gossip, doesn't mean that it's good that I'm going to commit a gossip. But that's okay, I'm just more for do little things here and there, you know? No, these little foxes are strong enough to destroy all the good work that they try to make up. So beware of the good cause. And then there is a practical tactic to fight against this sensory problem. So step number one, if you feel that there is a sin coming at you, and there is, you have a tendency to fall. Is there like a pragmatic way, a practical way to fight against it? So first of all, you have to identify, and you have to agree that this is not good, this is bad. So it starts here, okay? Number two, the church fathers say you have to be, this is one of the situations where we use the word need. Even my enemy who persecutes me, I'm not supposed to hate, right? I'm supposed to love. But the sin, I cannot cohabit with the sin. I cannot love the sin. I cannot, it's a disaster if we start to love the sin. Because God said, we are supposed to love everything. No. So the church fathers teach us that the second thing after you identify that this is not good, this is evil, you hate. You look at it as your spiritual enemy. Number three, you ask for God's grace. Number four, and I really love this, and it's very strong. You're going to love it. Number four, you do something opposite to what the sin is asking you. So the church father would say, imagine every time Satan is approaching you to make you fall in sin, and he gives you like a recipe for disaster, right? You remember the well, the free will? You choose to fall or you choose to flee from the sin? That's up to you. But if you're struggling, you don't know where to go. You want to fight. They say, do something good, opposite to what was suggested to you. Imagine if Satan comes to you and he says, this man did that to you. Time to take revenge. This man hurt you, it's time for you to hurt him. Make sense? Imagine if you do the opposite. Imagine if you do an act of compassion for this person. Isn't that stronger? So what is going to happen to Satan if this happens? Every time he gives you a recipe for disaster, you change it to a recipe of good. What's going to happen? Sin Anthony would do the opposite. He would just like in place of complaint, we have returned that in a sincere gratitude to God, to what God has given you so far. If He gives you forgetfulness of God, you have a constant and deep remembrance of God. If He gives you blasphemous thoughts, you overcome this with praise and glorification of God. Love of pleasure, you fast. Vain glory, you humble yourself. Love of money, start to be a poverty and love it. In place of anger, meekness, envy, you rejoice with others. Revenge, you forgive. So this is a beautiful lesson. So this tactic actually could work. This tactic could work. Number one, when you are presented with that recipe for the master, you are in the twice. Either you eyes will see it as this is not good. This is evil. Number one, identify. Number two, as you said, you hate. You start hating evil. Number three, you ask for the grace of God. And number four, you try to overcome it with something opposite to what Satan is presenting to you.
Journey in the wrong path.
discern. They can discern between good, remember what I'm saying, goodness on one side and evil on the other side, and the free will is in the middle. And there is so much power in the free will. Remember this again. God has created you free. You're not under bondage, even though on earth, yes, we inherited sin, but after the grace of God and the Holy Spirit are up in us, we restore again this power. So that's why, if we have the Holy Spirit, we believe that we have the Holy Spirit with us in us. We have this strong power to discern.